So we're going to learn Daf Chav Tes and Masechtas Nedarim. However, we're going to start from the bottom, the last four lines on the bottom of Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. So, just as a reminder, the Gemara on the bottom starts off with the quote from the Mishnah. It says, "Harei Netil Zeilu Korban." The fact is that the Mishnah uses those words twice. There's two different ways that you could use it. Let's just stick to the netiyos, the tree case. So one way is you say, I want this tree to be hektish, or I want actually the branches that I'm going to cut off to be hektish if I don't cut them off. Okay, if I don't cut off the branches, I want it to be hektish. So there the halacha is that since as long as you don't cut it off, it is hektish. And the Mishnah adds in the words that it has pigeon, which is very important, critical, crucial for our Gemara, because that's what we're going to discuss. So the first half of the Mishnah says that it does have pigeon, and then the second half of the Mishnah says that I want these branches to be hektish until I cut them off. And there the Mishnah uses the phrase ein lehem pigeon. They do not have redemption. Now, just again to explain what's going on over here. So typically, when you make something hektish, the object belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and you can buy it from the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash takes the money that you the money that you buy it with, and they use it for whatever, buying korbanos or whatever they need to do. Now, if I donate money, they just take the money straight out and use it. The one exception to that rule is if I donate something to the Beis HaMikdash that it itself can be used as a korban. So if I give a sheep or lamb or something like that as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, the Beit HaKabayis, rather the Gizbar, doesn't take it and sell it. They take that animal itself and they use it as the korban itself. They don't try to redeem it. Okay, so when we're talking about redemption over here, all these cases that we're talking about are cases where it doesn't have, intrinsic value, where it's not going to be used as the carbon itself. It's not Kedushas HaGuf. Rather, it's Kedushas Damim. It's something that you're going to use to sell it and take the money and then use the money to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we jumped a little bit ahead of the Gemara over here, but that's kind of some of the basics that you need to understand in order to understand the concept of padon, of pigeon. Pigeon is the idea that you're going to buy the object from the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash is going to take that money and they're going to use it for whatever they're going to use it. But you can, again, just to repeat, you can only buy those type of things from the Beis HaMikdash that the Beis HaMikdash can't use itself. If they could use the object itself, then there's no reason to sell it. Then they should use the object itself without selling it. And the classic example to that is if you donate an animal that can be used as a carbon. Okay? The sheep can be brought on the Mizbeach. For example, if it's Tamim, there's nothing wrong with it, then you cannot sell it. It does not have purchase value. It does not have market value. That's important to say. So the case over here that we're talking about is the type of sheep, that the type of animal that does cannot be used on the Mizbeach.
Can I designate it as Ola or Tamim, or does it matter?
Yes.
Even if it... The money can only go from another
yes. Ola. So... First, the Gemara starts like this. Ula oilom. So we're saying over here, the case was that you said that it's going to be hektish until I redeem it. So does that mean that, right. So is it going to be hektish forever? So really the point, the question is not so much, it's not really so much the question that's important, it's really the answer that's important, and that's what we're going to focus on over here. Omar Bar Pado. So Bar Pado says, Padon Chayzeres V'Kedushois. Padon Chayzeres V'Kedushois. Says, so let's stick to the first pshat, the Rashba's pshat in the Gemara, which is that, yes, when I say that it is going to be hektish until I redeem it, that and it has pigeon, what it really means is, or rather, we're going on the second half of the Mishnah where it says Ein Lehem Pigeon, that it's hektish until I redeem it. So the Gemara's question was, that what does that mean, that it's hektish? I can't redeem it? What's the whole purpose of donating it if I can't redeem it? So the Gemara says, you're right. What it means to say is that even if I redeem it, sure, you're allowed to redeem it, but even if I redeem it, What happens is the money that I gave Hekdesh belongs to Hekdesh. They give me the object, but because of the way I said that I want it to remain Hekdesh until it gets chopped off the tree, it reverts back to Hekdesh and it belongs to Hekdesh again. And I'll have to redeem it again. The words Ein Lehem Pidyon just means that it doesn't have final pidyon. It doesn't have it doesn't have finality to it. But if I redeem it, of course the redemption is a good redemption. It just reverts back, the object reverts back to Hekdesh until I finally chop it down. That's what the Gemara says, Achi Iktitsu, until I chop off this tree. Niktitsu Poidon Pam Achas Vidayo. But once it gets chopped down, so then I still have to redeem it because it belongs to Hekdesh. But then, since I didn't say that it's Hekdesh until, I only said until it gets chopped down, now that it gets chopped down, now that I redeem it, now I get to keep it. Okay, so according to Bar Poda, according to this Pshat, the Rajba's Pshat, in the Ran brings the Rajba. So according to this Pshat, until it gets chopped down, even if I redeem it, the money, it is a redemption in the sense that Hekdesh gets to keep it. But the object, even after I, so to speak, I bought it, it goes back to Hekdesh until it gets chopped down. Once it gets chopped down, I still have to redeem it because it was Hekdesh. But just to put things into perspective, the Ula Omar, Ula argues on according to the Rashi's shot on the second point. It says, Kivin Shenikzitzu Shuvein Poidin, says no. Since I only made it Hekdesh for a specific time frame, until it gets chopped down, the moment I chop down, then I don't have to redeem it at all, because it doesn't belong to Hekdesh anymore. That is the Chiddush according to Ula, the way the Rashba is learning. Meaning, the way the Rashba is learning is that Ula and Bar Pada both agree that during the Hekdesh time, meaning until it gets chopped down, both Ula and Bar Pada agree that even if I redeem it, it reverts back to Hekdesh, and I have to redeem it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. Until it gets chopped down, it always reverts back to Hekdesh. But the redemption is a good redemption in the sense that Hekdesh gets to keep the money that I used to try to buy it out. The machlokes between Bar Pada and Ula is only after that time is up, meaning it eventually gets cut down. Now the question is, does it need redemption because it was once upon a time Hekdesh? So according to Bar Poda, yes, of course it belonged to Hekdesh, and therefore it doesn't lose its Hekdesh until you buy back, but the Chiddush is that once I buy back, I'm done. And according to Ula, no, it was literally only Hekdesh until I chopped it down. Once I chopped it down, it's no longer Hekdesh. That is the Rashba's Pshat. I'll just say quickly, the Ran brings... According to the Rashba, there's only one machlokes between Ula and Bar Pada. The only machlokes is, after it gets chopped down, does it still need pidyon? That's the only machlokes, according to the way the Rashba learns. However, the Chacham Gadol Rav Moshe Kurtavi that the Ran brings, which apparently the Ran likes this Pshat, he says actually they argue on both points, that Bar Pada said it, and it's because for the same reason, since according to Ula it was still going to say that after it was chopped down it doesn't need to pidyon. So he said, he also, that's on that Bar Pada argues, because Bar Pada says, what do you mean it's Hekdesh, the Hekdesh doesn't disappear. But he also argues on, during the time, until it was cut down, whether or not it reverts back or not. That's the Chiddush that Ula holds, that until it gets chopped down, it cannot be redeemed at all. Ein Lehem Pidyon means it can't be redeemed, and then once it gets chopped down, it doesn't need pidyon. So it remains Hekdesh during that time, and that's it. It belongs to Hekdesh until it doesn't belong to Hekdesh. That's the way Ula learns. Bar Pada's Pshat still stays the same. Bar Pada's Pshat is that it was Hekdesh in the sense that even if you buy it, it reverts back. And afterwards, eventually, it needs a final pidyon, and that's it. But Ula, according to Rav Moshe Kurtavi's Pshat, is a whole different Pshat. He's saying, that's it. It either belongs to Hekdesh, or it doesn't belong to Hekdesh. So when it belongs to Hekdesh, it remains belonging to Hekdesh. And when it doesn't belong to Hekdesh, you don't need anything. So during that time, it belongs to Hekdesh, and after that time, it doesn't belong to Hekdesh at all. That's his Pshat. Okay, so then it could come out, there are other nafkaminas, there are not in the context of Hekdesh, there are other nafkaminas of he wants to compare it to if a person says, I'm selling you my house until I go to Eretz Yisrael. So is that time frame literally only during that time frame? And if I try to revert back, can I be chayzer on my sale until I go to Eretz Yisrael or not? That's, he wants to say, according to the Rav Moshe Kertavi, it's the same nafkamina. That until that time, it belongs to the other person entirely, and there's nothing I can do about it. And after that time, it doesn't belong to him anymore at all. I don't even have to buy it back. It's the same idea. But the point is that that's the machlo. But the point is that Ula argues on both points according to Rav Moshe Kertavi. Okay, but for our purposes, that takes us to the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Now we're ready to go to the top of Chav Tes Amud Aleph. But either way, whichever pshat that you're going to learn, the point is that according to Ula, it doesn't require, once you get to the end of the time frame, it doesn't belong to Hektish. That, in that regard, everybody agrees. Whether you learn the Rasmus Pshat or Rav Moshe Kertavi's Pshat, the point is that according to Ula, when the time's up, the time is up, and it doesn't belong to Hektish, according to Ula, you don't need a pigeon at all. So therefore, that's what's troubling to the Gemara. So the Gemara now asks, on the top of Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Amar Lei Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Hamnuna asks, Ula, Kedusha Shebahen Lehechen Hocha. I don't understand. If it belonged to Hektish, and there's Kedusha over here, where did the Kedusha go? The Kedusha doesn't just disappear. It doesn't disappear. So where did the Kedusha go? I get it that, you know, that Hektish doesn't have, so to speak, rights to it, but you can't, the Kedusha, as we say, can't be Paka Bechdi. Can't just dissipate with nothing. There has to be some sort of redemption in order to alleviate the Kedusha. That's Rav Hamnuna's question. So Uma, and he brings a raya to it. Uma ilo amar leisha hayoim at ishti. Ulamachar iat ishti. Just like if a person goes over to a woman and he says, I want you to be my wife today. And he marries her. Let's say he literally does marry her today, but tomorrow I don't want to be married anymore. Minafka beloy get. Would you have a minute to say that she doesn't need a get? Of course, once she's married, she's married. So just like once you're in a marriage, the marriage is forever until you do something about it, until you end it with an act, in this case a get. So too, the Kedusha also belongs to Hektish. There has to be some sort of conversion of some sort to make the Kedusha go away. So therefore, I don't understand Ula's Pshat that says when the time is up, then it's no longer Hektish. I don't even need to redeem it. So, on that kasha, Amalei Rava. So Rava says, "Mikam edames kedushas dama the kedushas haguf." How could you compare the two things? I get it. You're right. By getin, the thing is that the woman herself is, so to speak, hektish. She is married. Again, obviously, it's a different. They're different ideas, but the concepts are the same. That it's affecting her herself. It's not a monetary issue. It's just it's that the kedusha or kedushin, but we'll use the word kedusha, is on her herself. So that kedusha doesn't disappear. It doesn't disappear. So therefore, you're right. She remains married until you do something to it. But as opposed to kedusha's damim, in our case. Over here, where I donated the tree branches, as we discussed before, the tree branches only represent the value. The only thing that Hektish can do with them is to sell them, take the money, and then use the money for Bedek HaBayis or whatever it is that they're going to use the money. So that's only money. So money does have ownership and does have a time period that now it has value, and afterwards it doesn't have value. So it's not a kedusha issue. It is able to disappear, as the Gemara itself says. I stopped in the middle of the sentence. Kedusha's damim pakabichdi by kedusha. When it's just there for its value, for its market value. So then, when it doesn't have market value anymore, there's no longer, I don't have to do anything about it. Kedushas aguf lepaka bichti. Whereas, when it's intrinsically value, that intrinsic value, if it was elevated to a level of Kedusha, that Kedusha doesn't disappear. And as an example where you marry a woman, you can't marry her for a day because she has a level of Kedusha or Kedushin, and that's just not going to disappear. So we all agree that she'll need a get in order to end that marriage. Even if it was only intended for a single day. So that was Rava's Teretz. So he says it's not a kasha on Ula, because Ula is discussing only the value, not the Kedusha itself.
So again.
If that's true, now Rava wants to say there's a difference between Kedusha's Damim and Kedusha's Aguf. So Amalei Abaya says, I don't know, it's not really so clear that there's really a difference, and he'll prove it from a Braisa. Kedusha's Haguf. Loipaka bichti. So he asks it the other way around. He says, you're saying, according to Rava, your whole teretz is that we'll agree that there's a concept that if there's an intrinsic value, that that doesn't go away. And therefore, you can make a distinction and say, oh, Kedusha's Damim does go away, so Ula can just easily say it goes away. But that's not true. Kedusha's Damim doesn't, Kedusha's Haguf also can disappear. And if it also disappears, that means what you're saying is, we have to finish the sentence here. That means that there is no difference between the Kedusha's Haguf and the Kedusha's Damim. And where do we see that the Kedusha's Haguf can also sometimes disappear by itself? So then we have to come up with a different distinction. But Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Shor ze oilo kol lamed yoim. I say I want it to be a carbon, I take an ox, and I want the ox itself to be a carbon, to be used as a carbon oilo. Now, actually we don't want the ox itself to be used, because if we want the ox itself to be used, we all agree that it can't, it doesn't lose its status. And after 30 days, then I want it to become a carbon shlomim. So the Ran explains that we are talking about Kedusha's Damim over here. That the case is that I intend to, that I, there's, it's a situation where I am able to redeem it. Either, the Ran says because it has a mum. So I'm able to redeem the animal out from being a mum. Okay? Fine. So the halacha is, I stopped in the middle of the sentence there, but the halacha is, kol lamajoyim oilo, you're right, for the first 30 days it is, it can be used as a carbon oil. Ach lamajoyim shlomim, and after 30 days it's going to convert into a carbon shlomim. So am I? So first, in the Havamina of the Gemara understands that the ox itself, the shor itself, is going to be used as the carbon. So how does it switch from the carbon oil to the carbon shlomim? My kedusha zagufnenu ubakra bechdi, and somehow the kedusha all of a sudden dissipates, disappears, and you're now using it for a different carbon. Especially in this case, where an oil is a higher level carbon than a carbon shlomim. A shlomim, as we know, is the terminology is it's a kachim kalim. And oila is a kache kachim. It's a higher level of kedusha. And you're going and you're saying, after 30 days, it switches from the oila, which is kache kachim, down to the shlomim, which is kachim kalim. Which means there's a level of kedusha that disappeared. So so it must be that we see that kedushas aguf, even kedushas aguf, could disappear. That's what Abaye wants to say at first. So the Gemara says, no, that we can easily get around, because we say, what's the case over here? To Amar Lidmei. That over here, the case was that I didn't mean the animal itself should be used itself as the carbon, but rather I'm donating it so that you can sell it and buy the money, but the money that I would buy would be either in one case an oiler, in one case a shlomim. Okay, so it's Lidmei, and so far, according to the flow of the Gemara, at this point, we don't have a problem with the fact that Kedusha's Damim can switch, because it's just a matter of, it's a monetary thing. I can decide today it has this ownership, tomorrow it has different ownership, so it's not a problem. But that would be okay, that would be a simple enough teretz, if not for the fact, Ihochi Emo Seifo. The problem is that the Braisa does continue and gives another example, which is somewhat similar, and we have to make a distinction. Because the Seifa says, Lacha Lamajoim Oilo. I want it to be an Oilo in 30 days from now. And then he adds in, Umei Achshav Shlomim, but until those 30 days happen, I want it to be a Korban Shlomim. Okay, so here there is a little bit of a difference. It's going from a carbon shlomim to a carbon oilo. That makes it somewhat easier. But at the same time, it is the same idea where you're losing the kedusha of the shlomim, the designation of a shlomim, and all of a sudden converting it to something else. So the Gemara over here, interestingly, over here the Gemara does spell out exactly what the point is. If you want to say, because the Reisha and the Seifa so far seem somewhat similar, that after a 30-day period, it's converting into a different carbon. So if you want to say, the first line of the Gemara is, if you want to say that the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa of the Braisa is, one is talking about Kedusha's Damim, which is the first case, and one is talking about Kedusha's Aguf, which would be the second case. So now I understand why we need two cases in the Braisa. It's not the same thing. The Braisa is now saying two different things. As now on the top of Chavtes and Reis, as the Gemara itself, as I said, spells it out. That's why I need the Braisa itself to list both of those cases, because each of the cases is teaching us a different thing. That what? The sakadai tachamina kedusha sakuf loy paka bechtik. I would have thought that if it's intrinsically valued, the kedusha sakuf doesn't disappear by itself. Kedusha sakadomin paka bechtik. And only when it's for its value, not for the kedusha itself, that's why it's able to disappear, because it's just the value I can convert to something else. So I understand why the Braisa then has to say a second case, a somewhat similar but different case, but it's saying now the second case is talking about kedushas haguf, and even in that case it's showing us that it disappears. That the Kedusha disappears. So now I understand why the Braisa has two cases, because it's teaching us both halachas. Eli e amr is the Gemara itself, as I said, spells out exactly what we're trying to think over here. E amr aydeva aydeva Kedusha is domim, but if you want to tell me that both the beginning and the end of the Braisa are both talking about domim, and that's why it's easily convertible, lamalilamis nitarti, why would I have to say two? Especially with the way that the mission of the Braisa lists it. Hashto yesh lomer b'kedusha chamura l'kedusha kalapaka. And if you start, because remember in the first case we started with the oila, and then it was later transferring into the shlomim, which was a lesser kedusha. And even over there we're saying, yeah, it's not a problem. We say, since it's only damim, it goes, since it's only a value, I'm okay with switching it to a lesser kedusha. But once you tell me that halacha, that to go from a more serious, a more severe kedusha to a kedusha kala, to a less severe, that is okay. Kedusha kala, kedusha hamura, tzricha lemeimar. So, is there anything you need to say at this point that it's able to convert to the more severe, to add extra kedusha? Of course, you don't even have to tell me anything. In other words, what the Braisa is saying over here is, so since the way the Braisa is listed in the Seifa is, so to speak, less of a chiddush, it doesn't make any sense that the Seifa of the Braisa would also be talking about kedusha's dhamma, because it wouldn't be adding anything we don't already know. Elamai. So since, and it can't be that the Braisa is just repeating it to tell us nothing. So it must be that the Braisa is telling us something. What would the Braisa be telling us? It'd be telling us there's a difference between Kedushas Domim and Kedushas Aguf. Okay. So now it's two different type of cases. And if so, the conclusion of the Braisa is in both cases that you could switch. And that means that the Kedusha disappeared. So again, the Kedusha's Domim disappearing and going to a different, that's, so to speak, relatively speaking, not such a big Chiddush. It's a Chiddush, but not such a major Chiddush. But to tell us that the Kedusha's Haguf, that means the value itself, the object itself is losing the Kedusha. And not only is it losing the Kedusha, but it's going from a more severe Kedusha to a lesser Kedusha. And even so, we see that the earlier Kedusha ends and the new Kedusha takes over. So that's a major Chiddush. So now the Braisa is telling us something. But if so, that only works out according to Ula. Because that's exactly Ula's point. Ula's point is, yeah, if it was supposed to be Kedusha, Kadosh only for a certain period of time, that period of time ends, so then it's not Kadosh anymore. Because remember, according to Ula, the case of our Mishnah was a case where it was literally Kedusha itself. And the Kedusha itself, well, in Ula's case, it just disappeared, it ended, and it was nothing. Even if it's just Kedusha's domain, but the point is that it ended, and the Kedusha itself that belonged to Bedek HaBayis, I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's okay to just end after a certain time period. We see that now also in the Braisa, that according to the Braisa, and you can't tell me there's a difference between Kedusha's Guf and Kedusha's Domim. It's the same thing. Because this Braisa lists both cases, and by process of elimination, that's the only thing. The Braisa has to be talking about both cases, and in both cases, it just ends. So we see that Kedusha could just end, and that's exactly like Rav Hamnuna's Pshat. Well, no, that's exactly like Rava's, like Ula, exactly, right. Sorry, it's like Ula, that it could just end, and I don't have to do anything further in order for the Kedusha, because the Kedusha was only set for a certain amount of time. Once that amount of time is over, it's over. Okay, right? So that's the answer for Ula's Pshat. Exactly. This also is a problem for Rava, because Rava's whole teretz, when Rav Hamnuna asked the Kasha, because Rav Hamnuna was so surprised by Ula's Pshat that it could just end, and Rava says, no, there's a difference between Kedusha's Aguf and Kedusha's Damim. Over here, the conclusion of the Gemara at this point of the Gemara is that there is no difference between Kedusha's Aguf and Kedusha's Damim. That's the whole point. The Braisa is listing both cases. And even in Kedusha's Haguf, there could be a time where it will just end. even a kedusha zaguf, it was only kedusha for a certain amount of time, even that, the kedusha could just end, and when it ends, because it was only kadosh for that period of time. It wasn't, what? The kedusha zaguf would be the second case, where it goes, where I say, in 30 days I want it to be an oilo, but until then, from starting now, I want it to be a shlomim. So the halacha is that even though it was a carbon shlomim, it intrinsically was a carbon shlomim, and had I brought it as a carbon now within the first 30 days, I would have actually brought it as a carbon shlomim itself. At the end of 30 days, since it was only during that time period that it was a shlomim, at the end of 30 days, it's not a shlomim anymore. It's not a shlomim anymore, so now I'm going to bring it. So it disappears. It's not a shlomim anymore. Now it could be, that's the whole point according to this, and now it could be a carbon oilo. It could be a carbon oilo. It completely, the shlomim aspect of it ends, and now it can be a carbon oilo. But that comes out of there, that comes out according to Rabbah, that should never happen. According to Rabbah, the Kedusha can't disappear. If it was designated for a certain purpose, that purpose remains in place until I do something to act upon it, to change it. According to this, it comes out now that we sort of, based on this brisa, we sort of proved Ula's point. Now that we know that there's no difference between kedushas aguf and kedushas adamim, and just like we understand by kedushas damim, it could just end because I decided that I only wanted to have this value during this time. It's so too, let's focus on the kedushas aguf part of it. So too, the kedushas aguf part also can disappear. It could also disappear when it comes to that time. The problem is, then the Gemara says, so now we're up to the next line of the Gemara, right in the middle of the Amud. So, lema tahabatiyuf to the bar poda. If so, if that's pshat in the Braisa, this becomes a difficult for bar poda's pshat. The Amar loy poka gedusha bichdi. Because bar poda's the whole thing that he argued on Ula, was that once you have something that has kedusha, it doesn't disappear. Even after the time is up, you still have to do that final redemption. It still needs, once it belonged to Hekdesh, even though it only belonged to Hekdesh for during that period of time, after that period of time, it still needs redemption. The Kedusha didn't go away. But according to the way, again, just to say the same thing again, the way we just learned this Braisa, that's not true. The same way Kedusha's Damim can disappear after a certain amount of time, so too the Kedusha's Aguf also can disappear at a certain time, and it just ends. Because it was only intended, it was only meant to have that Kedusha during that time frame. So now that the time frame is over, that Kedusha doesn't exist anymore. So why does Bar Pada insist that it has a Kedusha and the Kedusha doesn't go away, and the Braisa seems to be against Bar Pada? So, Amar Rav Papa, so Rav Papa gives a very interesting teretz. Amar Lach Bar Pada, Rav Bar Pada, the word answer you as follows. Hachi Ka'amar, the way to read the end of the Braisa is as follows. Im lo yomar me'achshav shlomim, if he had not said the words me'achshav shlomim, then la'acher lamed yoim oilo. Then it is in fact, a carbon oilo. Meaning, what we have to add in very important over here is this is the point that Bar Pada would focus on. Meaning, but now that I did say me'achshav shlomim, it becomes a carbon shlomim now, and it does not lose its kedusha of the shlomim, and it does not convert into the oilo. The way to read the brisa is even when I said that I want it to be a carbon oilo in 30 days from now, it only remains an oilo provided I did not say me'achshav shlomim. Then it would be a carbon oilo in 30 days. But now that I said that it's a shlomim starting now, it's still going to be a carbon shlomim, and that carbon shlomim is not going to disappear. Okay? So, the Ran does point out that there are a lot of chidushim in this halacha. So because you might think, it's one thing when I said originally I wanted to be a carbon shlomim, and then later I wanted to convert to an oilo. So there it's easy to understand why the kedusha of the shlomim didn't disappear. But over here, the way I phrased it was very carefully crafted, where I started off by saying I want it to be an oilo. So my real desire is that I want it to be used for an oilo. And then I say, oh, but in the meantime, I want it to be a shlomim. So you might think that even though I said me'achshav, I really literally only meant it to be a shlomim during that period of time. Because I already said that I want it to be a carbon oilo. So therefore the chiddush is, no, even then, lemaisa, now that I said me'achshav, that I want it to be a carbon shlomim now, it never disappears. even though I originally only meant it to be a carbon shlamim for 30 days, that's it. Once it became a carbon shlamim, it stays a carbon shlamim, which is exactly Bar Pada's point. That the point is that once it has the kedusha, that kedusha does not disappear unless you do something about it. Now, you could redeem it. You could redeem it so that it's no longer a shlamim, and then it can now it's free to become a carbon oila. But as long as it is a carbon shlamim, I don't act upon it, and it remains, and the kedusha of a carbon shlamim is on it. It doesn't lose the carbon shlamim. That's among other things, that's the big chiddush over here also. But again, if I didn't say any, and the chiddush is that when I say, another chiddush that the Ran points out is that when I say I want it to be a carbon oila, and now if I were to add the words, me'achshav shlamim, so then the point is that it's not changing my mind. Even though I'm not changing my mind, I still want it to be a carbon oila. The fact is that since I said a toch kedei dibur, it counts as one sentence. So it counts as one sentence. It doesn't matter whether I said oila first and then shlamim, or shlamim first and then oila. It doesn't make a difference. In other words, even if I said I want the 30 days first, even if I had originally, just like you understand, if I originally said I want it to be a shlamim and then an oila, that would be easy for you to understand. The chiddush over here is that this is not changing my mind. Even though it's Teich Kedei Dibur, so since it's Teich Kedei Dibur, I want both things. And since I want both things, that again makes it into a carbon shlamim. And the point for our focus, we're focusing on, is that once it becomes a carbon shlamim, it doesn't disappear. The kedusha of the carbon shlamim doesn't disappear. Okay, and then the Ran at the end does point out that this is not a girsa change. Rav Papa's not trying to change the girsa of the Brisa. He acknowledges the girsa is that the case was that I said ula, that I said oilo, and then me'achshav shlamim. But the point is, because I said me'achshav shlamim, that's why you have to add in, actually, not changing the girsa, but you have to add in, oh, but if I actually said me'achshav shlamim, then it would remain a shlamim. So it must be, if I want it to be an oilo, it must be that I didn't say me'achshav shlamim. That's how to read the Brisa, even though again those words are not in the Brisa itself, but you have to sort of understand that that's what the Brisa is trying to say without changing the Girsa. Anyway, so now that works according to Bar Pada perfectly. Because remember, the whole point of Bar Pada was that once you have any level of Kedusha, that Kedusha doesn't disappear unless you do something with it. And then, so let's continue now, Rav Papa talking. Midi Dahave, this is similar to the same concept of I say that I want you to be my wife in 30 days from now. Demikudesh asks that she will be married in 30 days, even though the money is no longer there. Meaning, I gave her the money today, and I say, this dollar should be our kedushin. And then, but we're only getting married. I only want it to go into effect, to be effective in 30 days from now. So even though the dollar I gave her doesn't exist anymore, she bought it, she spent, whatever, it's not around anymore. Still, in 30 days, it is going to be a good marriage. So the same thing over here also. If I didn't say, me'achshav shlamim, I simply said, I want this animal to be an oila in 30 days from now, there, so fine, no problem, we'll just wait the 30 days. We'll just wait the 30 days and it'll become a carbon oila in 30 days. Again, it's not going to happen because I then added in the words, but I first want it to be a shlamim and it remains a shlamim until I get rid of the shlamim. But theoretically, if I didn't say a me'achshav shlamim, it would become, if I left the first 30 days blank, so to speak, I didn't say a me'achshav shlamim, so I left the first 30 days blank, so then it will be a carbon oila in 30 days from now. And that's okay. Just like when you say to a woman, I want to be married to you in 30 days from now, even though there's nothing here tying, connecting between now, there's no money anymore for the marriage, but that's okay. I don't have to connect the 30 days. It'll automatically become a carbon oila in 30 days. So to which the Gemara says, Pshita, of course, why not? If I want it to be Kaddish in 30 days, it'll be Kaddish in 30 days. Why? It doesn't have to happen now. So the Gemara says, here's the Chiddush. Loitzricha, you need it for the case, the Hadar Bay, where he says, before the 30 days, he says, you know what, I don't really want it to be a carbon oil anymore. So that's the Chiddush where you would say, okay, since I changed my mind, and it hasn't, nothing went into effect yet, so I'm stopping it before it ever happens. So the Chiddush is that you can't can't change your mind. Once I said it, it's already in, and that's the, especially according to Bar Poda, that once it has the Kedusha, so not only when it has the Kedusha, it doesn't lose the Kedusha, but also the promise that it will have the Kedusha also is going to, so to speak, the train is rolling, it's gonna happen. That's, it's gonna get the Kedusha when the time comes. But the Gemara says, Henich l'mandi yomer ein chayzeres. That, fine, that's a major chiddush according to the Mandi Yomer that says you can't stop it. That you, and that would be the chiddush over here also, that once I said in 30 days, it's gonna be kadosh no matter what. El l'mandi yomer chayzeres, my ikel meimar. So, but according to the Mandi Yomer that says that she could decide, now this machlokes is in the context of the marriage, where you say, I want to be married in 30 days from now. And she decides during those, on day 20, you know what, I don't want to get married. I don't want the Kedushin to be chal. So there is a Mandi Yomer that says that she could stop it. So over here also, maybe you could say that I could stop it and say that I don't want it to be a carbon oilo. So, Mayik Lamema, what are you going to say? So the Gemara answers, no, there's no comparison. Afilu l'mandi yomer hasam chayzeres. Even over there, by the case of the Kedushin, where she says, before the 30 days, she says, you know what, I don't want to get married, and that's okay. Hacha shani. Over here, it's different. Why? Da'amirasoy l'gvoya k'misirasoy l'hedrit. Over here, okay, this is a line that's used often in the Kachim Sugyas. The idea is that when just by merely saying that I want to donate something is the same thing as actually handing it over in the context of a hedget, meaning not kachim, in the context of a regular, you know, people transaction. Just like, now again, this phrase is used in different ways, in different contexts. But for just like, the idea is that when I'm dealing with a regular business transaction, and we concluded the transaction, I can't go back anymore. Once I handed him the money, once I made the kinyan is over, there's nothing for me to do. So too, the amira over here also, Ligavoya, saying that I want to donate something is already the transaction is over. And the chiddush over here is that even though the transaction technically isn't over until 30 days from now, over here, by hektish, it's as if I already concluded. The amira is the conclusion of the transaction. That's a little bit of an extra chiddush over here in this gemara. That the saying it is not just, it's not just saying that it will happen, it is literally the end. That's all I have to do in order for it to be the end of the transaction. Okay, so the time has to happen. We have to get there. But lemaisa, by hektish, once I say it, it's already the conclusion, everything is concluded. And the Ran does point out, the same thing, by the way, is true by tzedakah. If a person says that he's going to give the tzedakah, that is an absolute obligation. It's as if it's a done deal. So you have to do it. You have to complete the transaction. Why? Because it's like any other deal that I already completed the transaction. It's too late to be chayzer. As opposed to, just to finish off what the Gemara over here is saying, as opposed to in the case of Kedushin, where you're trying to marry a woman, there it's a transaction between people. And until the transaction is concluded, nothing happened. And if nothing happened, I could say, okay, I don't want to, I'm stopping it before it happened. We all agree that after the transaction is done, it's too late. Once you have it and the kinyan was done, it's too late. But over here by the woman, she's not married yet. The transaction hasn't concluded yet. So therefore, there's a mandi yomer that says that, you know, she's able to stop the transaction. Okay, so we're going to stop over here, even though there's three lines left to the bottom of the Gemara, because this is really just the beginning of the story to the next Gemara on Daf Lamed. So we'll stop over here.